that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later. And often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Well, hello once again. It is the Boomer Tech Radio Show. I'm Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
We are analog, living in a digital world. Welcome to the program with goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, the tech news we can use and you can use, brought to you each and every week by Advanced Automotive of Redding, California. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. And we also do a podcast. And, you know, Brenda, we are not just a one in a million podcast. Oh, no. We are a 1 in 2 million
Wow.
Podcast.
Got lots of company.
Yes, we are in a lot of good company. And a lot of people who are very baffled by how do I listen to a podcast. And they get the, you know, subscribe to the RSS feed and da-da-da-da-da. Now, there's a couple of ways, of course, to get streaming audio off the web. You can get it directly from the site, which if you go to our site, boomertechradio.com, you can click on the little player and listen. But that kind of tethers you to your computer. Would it not be a whole lot easier to have the show download into your device and then you listen to it at your convenience? That's what a podcast is, and that dates back to the earlier days of digital when speeds were really, really slow and the iPod had first hit the market. Internet speeds were too slow to support real-time audio.
Right. There was we used to have RSS,
Simple syndication. Well, you still do it. In fact, that's how we generate the feed for the podcast version of the show.
I thought that allowed you to schedule downloads, though.
Well, you subscribe to...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, it's all part of that ecosystem. We'll get into how to create a podcast in a future episode. It took me long enough to figure it out myself, except I will say that if you want to do podcasting, here's your friends, WordPress and Blueberry, or Blueberry. B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. Great hosting service. They're our hosting service, and we get enough room to do a month's worth of shows for about $20 a month. Works out very, very nicely. But to listen to podcasts, a lot of people still find it to be very confusing. Now, Apple has a podcast app built into the iOS operating system. On Google, however, you had to do Google Play Store or use Stitcher or one of the other applications that a lot of people, frankly, felt a little overwhelmed by as far as how to find podcasts and how to subscribe and all that.
And some people just don't like to push a lot of, you know, buttons, if you will.
Well,
tap the screen too many times.
Google to the rescue. They have now, and this is integrated into the Google Assistant. They have launched Google Podcasts. And 2 million different podcasts are curated and presented. And I downloaded the app just this morning on my Galaxy Note. And with great anticipation, I typed in Boomer Tech Radio. And lo and behold, there it was, the last several episodes.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Just that simple. And so if you would do me a kindness, as Jack Rebney is fond of saying, get the app, get the podcast, and make me smile because my numbers go up. And you can carry the show with you anywhere. You do not have to be tethered by the tyranny of the clock. How cool is that?
Pretty amazing.
Yeah. So this is something that Google's been working on for quite a while. The official app hit the Play Store this week. Right.
Go ahead.
It's been in development for quite a while because they wanted to get it right. And it is a very simple interface.
That's nice when it's simple. Right now it's only available on Android, but they are saying that they're making hints that they're going to do an iOS version as well.
Look for Apple to be very persnickety about this because if they want you to use the Apple ecosystem. Yep. Only Apple all the time.
Yeah, all Apple all the time.
Yeah. Device will, if you are listening to a series of podcasts, it tracks through Google Assistant which ones you're caught up on. So if you go home and you fire up your Google Home speaker, you can say, play the next episode or the next most recent episode of Boomer Tech Radio or This American Life or
whatever
BBC
appeals to you.
And it will do it.
That's pretty cool. They also are indicating, Google is indicating, that they're going to have a future podcast developer app program or something of that nature that allows you to make your own podcast and post them.
And it will provide helpful personal recommendations. In other words, here are podcasts, just like Netflix recommends movies
what you listen to, they'll say, maybe you would enjoy this.
And we have found more interesting movies that way. Some of them are real stinkers, and some of them are like, what were you thinking?
Some of them, the stinkers are good, though, because sometimes they're really amusing.
Sharknado 3.
Yes. Well, that wouldn't have been hard to find, but...
I think we actually found that on a recommendation, Sharknado 3.
And it was popular, and I'm like... Really? People rated this highly? But it was amusing.
It definitely does quite the camp. If you're already getting your podcast through Google Play Music, you won't notice any difference. Now, it's interesting, this creator program, which is mostly aimed at women and minorities to... incentivize them to create content, which means guys like me are, you know, tough. Somebody might listen to you.
You're already doing it.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing, you know. So but this is...
I agree that we need more...
A variety of voices out there.
We need more podcasts by women and not something like guys we blanked.
Yeah.
We survived about 6 minutes of one episode, and that's a real podcast.
A highly rated podcast.
Yeah, very highly rated.
And I was listening to that going, really?
It's two millennial chicks yucking it up and dropping the F-bomb as frequently as possible.
It's awful.
And
vacuous,
and tittery,
awful.
You know, just, what?
Let me put it this way. I don't get it. I don't understand why that would be so popular.
It was an exercise in vapidity.
Mm-hmm.
Not to sound like a snob, but it was vapid. It had no substance whatsoever.
Well, obviously
it had meaningful substance
to somebody. If it was
so highly rated, it wouldn't be pulling down several million listeners.
This is one of those things that people say, you got to listen to this. They listen for 20 seconds, and so it gets the hit. Being popular, but people don't stick around for replays, so to speak, repeats.
Now, I will admit, this show does not appeal to a huge, huge audience, but we have a niche, and we hear from people who say, well, thank you for explaining why that happens. And that's kind of the aim of the show. And we look at things that, like products, that on instinct we say, that's not going to work, and here's why. 3D glasses didn't work because of the reasons we outlined on this show. And it wasn't just us. It was everybody who was in the industry. Only a Panasonic glasses works with a Panasonic TV and Sharp with a Sharp TV. And then they're $100 each. They're incompatible. They still give you a freaking headache. And if you sit on them, you're off the $100.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got three pairs and you've got six people over to watch TV, what do? You each share one eye? it was a bad idea.
Well,
And remember, for a while, 3D.
It's an okay idea, but its application is not done well.
Oh, and the content was horrible. Content is king, and so it is with podcasting. So it is with any video medium. Speaking of video mediums, YouTube is making some changes. There had been quite a bit of controversy right previously. The more viewers you had on YouTube, the more commercial space that YouTube would assign to you, and you would increase your revenue. However, what had been happening is that more and more there was controversy where certain content that really didn't belong on a particular show was being streamed in as a commercial, and people started, well, I don't want this sponsor, you know, touching my stuff, and sponsors would say, we don't want to sponsor this program. And it got to be a huge headache. YouTube is now going to, this is what, at the VidCon conference down in Anaheim, there will be channel memberships. Now, you can follow a channel. There will be marketing partnerships and the launch of premieres. It's a middle ground between pre-recorded edited video and live streaming. Fans can sponsor a channel. Now, fans are able to sponsor a channel for $5 a month, which gives them access to exclusive digital goods. I don't think we're ever going to need to worry about that. But streaming video is a thing, but I don't think it's going to be the only thing. There's just so much crap on YouTube. Everybody's trying to cash in and be the next big thing. And you're just seeing, you're seeing some of this content and you're going, there's absolutely zero production value here. I'm old school.
Oh, well, that's the thing, right?
And streaming video has a multiplicity of problems, not the least of which is distracting people who really should be paying attention to what the hell they're doing.
Right? Case in point.
Case in point, the safety driver of the Uber car involved in the fatal crash in Tempe, Arizona.
It's Tempe.
Was streaming a television show on her phone until about the time of that fatal crash on March the 18th. A police report says the incident was entirely avoidable. The driver, Rafaela Vasquez, reportedly looked down and not at the road. She glanced up a half second before the impact with the bicyclist. By then, of course, it was far too late to take any action. The incident set back Uber's self-driving car program indefinitely, and it was entirely avoidable. The whole idea, she was playing the voice on her phone.
Mm-hmm. Which you don't have to watch, quite frankly.
Exactly. The determination is going to be made to file criminal court charges in the Maricopa County District Attorney's Office. Actually, it was referred to another county, I guess, because of a conflict of interest, and they don't go into any detail on what that was. The car was in autonomous mode. This whole thing is designed to test the software under different circumstances, and ideally, had this woman been paying attention to the job for which she was being paid, she would have noted that the car didn't pick up the bicyclist,
didn't recognize,
applied the brakes,
right,
and reported the incident,
right,
and the engineers would have worked on the software. This is what a test rollout is all about, to test a system in real-world conditions. And when you get idiots who can't pull their head out of their YouTube long enough to pay attention to the job, somebody dies. End of rant.
In this case, perhaps she thought it was appropriate to be not paying attention with an autonomous vehicle.
Well, her job was to take over if things went sideways.
I understand that. You said the realistic checking on it, you know. But
yeah.
Very, very unfortunate set of events, not only for the bicyclist, but for this person who obviously was a little unclear on the concept.
Yeah, you're like a test pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big decision by the United States Supreme Court Friday. Now, law enforcement officials usually, generally, require a warrant in order to get mobile phone records that show someone's location over an over a period of time. In other words, if somebody says, well, I was in location A, and the phone records show that you were in location B,
mm-hmm.
Then they've got you. But the law says, and the U.S. Supreme Court has verified, that a warrant is required to access those records under the privacy laws.
Right.
Prosecutors look for phone location information from telecommunication companies in tens of thousand cases a year. Prosecutors in most parts of the country have been able to demand that data without showing probable cause required to get a warrant. They just, oh, we're going to check on this person as, you know, as part of their investigation. Well, this had civil liberties people and me, too, because now you're sort of fishing for a ways to catch people. Oh, this particular phone number spends too much time in the vicinity mm-hmm. of X business or, let's say, a illegal operation of some sort. So we're going to investigate them further. So that it is a form of mass surveillance, and the courts are upholding that, no, you can't do that without probable cause.
Right. That's a good thing.
Yeah. In this case that was decided, the GPS and timestamp data provide a window into the person's life, movements, through them, family, political, professional, religious, and sexual associations. Let's say that the movements reveal that this person went and visited a topless bar every Thursday. Well, what do the cops need with that information?
Right.
And could that information just be made to turn up in a public record somewhere?
Right.
Now, the Chief Justice Roberts called the ruling a narrow one that focuses on the unique nature of cell phone location information, but law enforcement is calling this sort of a setback to their efforts. But we have to walk that balance between our ability to not feel like Big Brother is staring down at us every second of every day, which it gets closer and closer to, versus being able to hold criminals to account.
Right. And perhaps in law enforcement, you have to go back to what they used to call the gumshoe approach, do it in person instead of being able to do things electronically. But that isn't to say that you can't do things electronically. If they have some suspicious and they can draw a reasonable argument for doing so, they can still do that kind of work. It's just that they can't just do it without having some permission, mm-hmm. in this case, a warrant.
Now, in this particular case, the individual was looking to overturn a conviction for taking part of armed robberies of Detroit area Radio Shacks. Okay, why would you rob a radio? Aside from, like, there's no more Radio Shacks now, but well, obviously this was some years ago when there were still Radio Shacks. They never did any business. Why would you rob one? It's all on credit card. Anyway.
Who knows?
He was also robbing stores for T-Mobile. Now, again, aren't most transactions in these places on credit card? There are a few cash transactions.
There's a piece of this story missing. You know, maybe he was janitorial service for these companies or something. I mean,
well, these are allegedly armed robberies.
Okay.
Of all the places to stick, you'd do better at a 7-Eleven than a Radio Shack.
Well, I don't know. Don't they have their safe or whatever at 7-Eleven? The thing about it is that nobody said the criminal was smart.
Right.
That particular criminal was smart.
But I will, I believe that criminals need to be held to account, but this had a creepy factor to it that just on a whim, law enforcement could start poking around in your records, looking for something to bust people.
Well, that would, you know, this is the equivalent of just walking in your house because they're curious, you know. Well, what have you got in here? How is your floor plan? What's going on?
Yeah.
And it's the same kind of thing. It is an intrusion of that privacy without probable cause.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. Now, did you know that we are in a small percentage, Brenda?
I did not.
We are in a tiny minority of smart speaker owners because when we were at Costco a couple of weeks ago, we bought these little Wemo plugs. And now we can simply say, hey, G, bedroom on, and the bedroom light turns on. Now, like I said, well, why don't you just reach over and turn the light on? Well, when you walk in, stuff like that, it's and you got your arms full of laundry or something.
Use the wall switch. Hey, I just went to bed. I'm not going to get up and go turn the lamp off and come back around.
Right.
I wanted the light on to get in bed.
Yeah.
It also is not plugged into a wall switch, so you have to have some other means of controlling it anyway.
Now, the Apple HomePod, of course, is a music-centric device. It doesn't do a whole lot of other things. Playing music, though, we don't use a lot of music on them either. Playing music, only the third most common use.
Hmm.
So what are people doing with their devices?
We set timers and alarms. Yeah. Do a lot of that.
The study found answering a question and checking the news or weather led the way with discovering and controlling music. In third place, controlling other smart home devices, least common use of a smart speaker. But I'll bet you that number two is set a timer.
Yep.
When I put the laundry in, I say set a timer because you get busy when you put the laundry in and then you forget it's going, right? And it's the end of the day and you got a washer full of wet clothes. And how simple is it? Say, set a timer for an hour and 15 minutes and it'll go ahead and let me know that it's time to take the clothes out of the washer and put them in the dryer. So it's very handy. One thing we've noticed now, we renamed our Amazon Echo with the keyword computer, which, given the number of times that it shows up in, you going to be all right there? It's okay. Brenda is unable to talk, so I'm actually going to switch her microphone off. And I've had – there's this cold, if you're living in Northern California where we are, there is this hideous, horrible cold that is making the rounds. And it lasts for about a week of pure misery. Starts with a tickle in your throat, and then it goes up into your sinuses. It works its way down your throat. It fills your lungs. Am I making you sick yet? But it's just a nasty little beast. And so – I had it, and I, being married, I, of course, share everything with my wife, and I shared this.
Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. But experts say it's only a matter of time before voice becomes a primary means of controlling things like your thermostat, like your lighting, just like Star Trek, you know, raise the cabin temperature 4 degrees, you know, lights on. Tea, Earl Grey hot. And in fact, another article tells us that the Google speakers are getting more and more able to handle multiple and follow-up tasks. Now, a lot of people say, I'm not going to have one of these things in my house. That's all right. I have, because of the nature of my radio show, I have a Echo. Which I'm sort of less and less in love with because I get a lot of false starts on the Echo. And then a Google Home. And the Google Home seems to be a bit more responsive, especially with fairly complex commands. And the example I like to give is set an alarm Monday through Thursday at 5 a.m., and it carried out that sequence. Now, trying to program that into your alarm clock, at which we would simply turn off the alarm on Thursday night, but if you forget it, then you get woke up before you want to get up on Friday. Or if you forget to set it on Sunday, you don't get an alarm on Monday morning. I'm forgetful at my age. So things like the Google Home... it's convenient, and of course it has a pretty high cool factor. Speaking of cool factor, we will be right back after these messages on Boomer Tech Radio, goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and the tech news you can use.
might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or DouglasWrightLaw.com.
Holiday Harbor on Lake Shasta has it all for your summer fun. Looking to make great family memories this summer? Holiday Harbor has been named as one of the top 10 houseboat marinas in the nation, according to customers who come back year after year. Holiday Harbor has the best deals on the best boats. Houseboats, patio boats, fishing boats, ski boats, and then there's the toy box. Wakeboards, paddleboards, jet skis, and pool toys. We feature a great restaurant for breakfast and lunch. We are open 7 days a week from 8 to 4, Memorial Day to Labor Day. Have a great vacation without a long drive or airport hassles. Holiday Harbor is conveniently located just a mile off the freeway, exit 695. Go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383 to reserve your summer fun today.
Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading. On the web at AdvancedAutoReading.com. Visit them at 5756 F West Side Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Welcome back to Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob, and Brenda can breathe again.
Yes, I can speak again.
Ah, you ever had one?
You get that thing in your throat, and you just can't get rid of it, and it just chokes you, and then you can't talk, and it just is frustrating.
We'd have somebody else do this, or we would come back and do it live on Saturday. We're going to be a little busy on Saturday when this show broadcasts. We're going to be doing for the ninth year, I believe it is, our involvement in a fundraiser called Dancing with the Stars Shasta County Style, which is similar to the ABC News program. We are ABC television program.
You're better than me. I couldn't even name the network that it was on.
And we tape it for the participants. And this is not a big network thing. It's just us.
Right. Yeah. It's just a document for the memento, if you will, for the organization.
Well, what the big networks take six, full-size semis to do, we manage to do with stuff we can tote around in an SUV.
Well, there's also a big difference in production values.
Yeah.
The network is geared towards broadcast, so lighting and choreography and...
Absolutely.
You know, whatever is accordingly, and this is the opposite. This is to entertain a live audience and to... function as a fundraiser, and the fundraiser is for One Safe Place locally, which is the local domestic violence center. And so it goes for a very worthy cause. If you don't have anything else better to do on Saturday night and want to go use someone else's air conditioning participate in a good cause, you don't have to contribute beyond purchasing a ticket. Tickets are as inexpensive is $10, and that puts you in the balcony, and not in the, what do they call those, the loge seats?
Loge, yeah.
Those are a little higher premium, but you can get some very, very good
orchestra seats.
Yes, orchestra seats. You can get some very, very good seats in the balcony for just $10. Come on out. Have a great time.
Pretty nice.
We don't even know what the whole show is going to look like, but the work we've done so far, which amounts to previews that we've seen, it promises to be a good time.
Yeah. We do interviews with the folks. So on a future episode, we're going to actually talk about video has changed a long way since the days when, Dad brought out the VHS camcorder. Remember when those
thing.
Were pretty ubiquitous?
Yeah. And so think about that. You had to have a VHS. You had to have something that would hold a VHS tape.
Mm-hmm.
So by its very size of the tape.
The cameras are now smaller than the tapes.
Device, yeah. Well, the cameras you can use now are on your phone.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, in fact, we used phone cameras for part of the production. We used GoPro for part of the production.
Exactly.
And we have our
GoPro.
Canon cameras. And the reason you want to use a big camera like that is, of course, it has a great piece of glass on it.
Right.
A lens on it.
Yeah, and you can actually zoom up from quite a distance and things like that. Using a smartphone from the back of the theater is just really not terribly practical.
Right. And that little blue screen just irritates everybody. So we went high definition a couple of years ago. Yeah, we're a little behind the power curve on that. But we're going to talk in a future episode about different formats because once upon a time you had VHS. Some really out there people had Betamax. Then for a while, Mini-DV.
Mm-hmm. We shall call him Mini-DV.
was all the rage. And I've got I probably have a milk crate full of mini DV tapes, because if you're a professional videographer, which I aspire toward, you never reuse one of these tapes. And tapes, of course, about $4 or $5 each.
Yeah, that actually allowed the camera to be fairly small in a lot of ways. And, of course, people would pack around their little camcorders, and they got smaller and smaller.
If you recall, mini DV tapes are slightly larger than a matchbox. Those of you who actually recall seeing a matchbox, I don't know if anybody. I don't know if I've seen an actual matchbox.
Well, they're around.
People
around. Collect them, and I think they're still a thing when you go to casinos and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of them still have that as swag that's available. So.
another 100 years, people will listen to this in some archive, and they'll go, what the hell is he talking about?
Well, there's lots of things like that. Well, there's Matchbox derbies, and used to have Matchbox cars.
Oh, yeah. I had a whole collection of those.
I think my brother still does somewhere.
Matchbox gave away the Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels were cool. Yeah, we played with Hot Wheels a lot.
We were talking about smart speakers and the things they can do. Here's a case of what could possibly go wrong. Big banks and financial companies have started to offer banking through your virtual assistant, the Alexa, the Siri, the Google Assistant. You can check your balance, pay bills, and in the not-too-distant future, send money with the sound of your voice.
Ooh.
Again, what could possibly go wrong?
What's the potential for fraud and theft and mistakes and you name it in that
scenario?
Now,
we've already had this bizarre scenario where Google was recording Alexa was recording a conversation and sending it off to somebody on a contacts list. So let's give it power over your bank account. Oh yeah, I enjoy using my smart speakers to do a number of things. I wouldn't bank on one any more than I would do banking on my laptop at the Starbucks.
Right, on a public Wi-Fi. That's just not a good idea.
Or an airport.
Right. So voice commands, maybe if you're the only one in the house, that would work. And you have a non-standard trigger word for your smart speaker.
Right.
But even so, who's to say that somebody wouldn't hack into it somehow or another?
Exactly.
And be able to get that kind of information. I don't know.
This is not a thing I would enable with my smart speaker. There's a system called Zelle. It's a bank-to-bank transfer system that makes it possible to send money to friends or family instantly with voice command. This is just a little too much convenience.
Yeah.
credit card companies like Capital One, American Express, they have skills in the Alexa ecosystem that let you check balance, pay bills. Other smaller banks have set up Assistant or Alexa. U.S. Bank is keeping the features available through Bank by Voice fairly restrictive. Money cannot be transferred, but the bank is considering the option.
The comment from the executive vice president for omni-channel banking at U.S. Bank is that they want to be there for our customers in any possible way that we can.
So asking asking your Google or your Alexa or your Siri for the weather or what is the meaning of life? The answer is 42, by the way.
Meaning to life and everything.
Your device, what is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? Your device will tell you it is, in fact, 42. If you get the joke, fine. If you don't, go look. whole other issue when you are getting into and sharing money. The apps will announce a person's available balance over the loudspeaker, which has the potential to create a somewhat awkward situation at a party.
Yes.
In the case of Google and Alexa, you have to create a secure connection between your bank and the assistant through a skill and a PIN. So you would be loudly announcing your PIN. Who knows who's listening next? This just sounds like a
bad idea. And the thing about it is that your voice could be recorded and played back to the device and can't determine whether it's live or a Memorex. It doesn't know that. And so even though Google Assistant has the capability to parse out individual people's voices.
If you have enough samples of a person's voice, you could get them to recite the Gettysburg Address.
That can apply.
And having never said it, never picked it up.
Right. Look at the videos that they did and audio that was done as an experiment. I believe it was out of Seattle. Regarding what President Obama had or not said in the case of not. So this is just not terribly different than that. And so even though Google Assistant has that additional level of security available, not all of the entities such as U.S. Bank, they haven't implemented that yet. Yeah. And besides that, security experts say that can be worked around fairly readily anyway, so it's kind of a meaningless false layer of security, if you want to look at it that way.
If somebody starts fiddling with my lights remotely, fine, I'll unplug the light. If somebody starts fiddling with my finances, that's a little bit harder to fix.
There probably are no consumer protections for that sort of thing yet, because reality of the capability of these systems to be able to perform these tasks is beyond current regulation.
Well, maybe we don't want to use voice. Maybe we want to carry out these transactions and control systems using only
the power of the mind, the force.
According to an Engadget article.
Such a thing.
Yes. Now, Brenda has actually done this.
You did, too.
By putting a strap on your forearm and concentrating on a screen, you can manipulate a little dolphin. In this case, it was a little dolphin on the screen.
Yeah, character, a little figure.
And the whole idea was to make it swim at a certain depth, and if you stop thinking about it, it would pop back up to the surface. It was actually a little bit uncanny.
It was eerie. It was kind of, and I won't go creepy, but it was it was not fake. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Now, the picture on this article, by the way, any of the articles that we talk about here on BoomerTech Radio, you can probably find them in Flipboard Magazine. And we kind of separate them out from the huge herd of Flipboard Magazine cover stories and technology and put them in our own little magazine called BoomerTech Radio, appropriately enough. The picture is hysterical. The top of this guy's head looks like a cross between an octopus and Doc's headpiece from Back to the Future, the brain control device, or I guess it was an ESP device. Anyway, it shows a guy with this thing on his head, all kinds of sensors on a looks like a swim cap, and there's a robotic arm controlling a power drill. Right now, if you wanted to tell a robotic arm to do something, you type in line after line after line of code. Now, there's another way to teach a robotic arm to repeat a function, and this is what's done in the surgical robot, in that the human operator goes through the operation once, and the robotic arm makes adjustments for each particular case, but it goes through the same motions. So this is a way to control these robots using between hand gestures and brain waves, and then the system is monitoring the brain activity of the person watching robotic work, and if the robot makes a mismove, the user corrects it. So pretty interesting.
Yep.
It takes one step. If you're watching a system work and things start to go wrong, you have to reach out and slap a button or whatever, it reduces that reaction time, because the moment you see a problem, your brain kind of goes, stop. Well, it's another half second for your hand to be able to, you know, there's that speed of
reaction
there's
time.
There's a reaction time.
Yeah. So this is interesting concept of approaching things, because instead of, like Bob says, writing all this code and having the machine react to that, the connection allows the machine to react to the human. And so it's really a form of communication, and it's makes working with that robot much more like working with another person. And then take it that a step beyond. So, for instance, the automotive industry, for instance, might be a really good candidate for using robotics like this in the manufacturing process or assembly process. And it opens up possibilities for how humans can manage robots that do those tasks. So humans still do the task via the robot, learning from the human what to do. And then it would allow for changes if you're retooling, or today you're building F-150s, and tomorrow you're building the Focus, assembling the Focus. Obviously, there's software changes that could occur with that. But if there seems to be some kind of problem, you know, maybe even humans can intervene through connection with one robot, or whatever, it makes it systemic. So, I mean, there's some interesting possibilities with this, and maybe even some ability for people to have an avatar. They have a disability, for instance.
Right. Let us. And we've all seen people who
have a robotic
their only
avatar.
Mobility is like a finger or
right.
something, you
right.
know, be either through a neuromuscular disease or an accident that has caused them some kind of severe harm. And if we, but their brain is fine. They can think coherent thoughts and they can control these systems. So maybe somebody has a version of Parkinson's, but their mind is
right.
working just fine.
Well, ALS just, is a perfect
and
example.
And ALS, yes.
Yeah.
Or somebody has reached an age when their muscular system is no longer working adequately. And again, their mind is still fine. So these devices, these systems that can, instead of taking input from a joystick or a set of buttons or lines of code or even voice command, can simply read your intentions
right.
from your brain waves.
Right.
And you simply train your brain waves just like you would train your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And the system will carry out the commands.
Feels like magic.
We are in the realm of science fiction.
Yeah, that's true. Yep, it's pretty interesting.
Realms of science fiction. Now, a few years ago, nobody ever heard of this thing called cryptocurrency.
yep. Who comes up with this stuff?
Yeah. You know?
I mean, we've talked a little bit about that on this show. A
couple of stories for you cryptocurrency fans.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I would be, well, you know, don't put all your eggs in that basket.
Yeah. Exchange in Korea. I would assume South Korea, says they've managed to have $32 million worth of cryptocurrency stolen. Currencies dropped across the board after a second exchange in as many weeks said it was hacked. BitThumb, which was ranked as the world's seventh largest crypto exchange, hackers apparently stole about 35 billion won, that's $32 million, Ripple among the coins that was taken. The exchange halted currency deposits and withdrawals, which means that people were no longer able to access their money. The ripple effect on this, the ripple effect on the problem with Ripple hit Bitcoin, which caused a 2% drop, which 2% of, now it's back down around $6,000-$7,000 fluctuating. Remember when it topped out at nearly $20,000 $20,000 per coin?
Yeah.
That was dropped back down.
Those that sold out at the peak of the game there, though, did well.
Enthusiasm for the virtual currencies has really sort of grown cold. And we called this. I hate to toot our own horn, but I'm going to do it.
I never remember.
We said,
oh, yeah.
It's a digital system, and it's
right.
only a matter of time before somebody figures out how they're going to game it.
Because it's digital, it has vulnerabilities. No matter how rock solid you make your firewalls and whatnot, there's somebody that either leaks information that gives insight on how to deal with it, or they discover a vulnerability and then capitalize on it, they being the thieves and folks that do cyber crimes like that. And, you say, well, my money's not safe in a bank either. True, a bank can be robbed, but chances are you
accounts can be hacked.
Yeah, accounts can be hacked, but personally, you're probably not going to suffer quite as much
right.
as Bitcoin, because there's no recovering your Bitcoins particularly. Although they did say, this company said that they replaced the ones that or at least some of them, that were compromised out of the company's own funds. But they can't keep that up. And if they actually replaced all $32 million worth.
Can't do that for very long.
Yeah, so, not going to do that very long. That's quite a hit. And I wonder what that looks like on your tax on your taxes when you file. We gifted $32 million. That's crazy, crazy.
Now, a lot of Bitcoin trading takes place through exchanges, such as the one in Korea. And
service,
the well-known one is Coinbase.
down in San Francisco. It's mm-hmm. been there for about 6 years, so it's sort of an old soul yeah. in the world of cryptocurrency. One of the most trusted places to either trade Bitcoin, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash. It also has an increasing number of critics among its customers. 134 pages of complaints have been filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission and the California Department of Business Oversight. The company has apparently had some issues. People have said that they made deposits only to never see the money again. The only response they're getting out of the company was that we're experiencing some difficulties, just be patient. And then you never hear from them again. There's three zeros there, but accounts getting misplaced, money just vanishing into the ether, which is kind of humorous, since Ethereum is one of
yes,
the
yes, I know that's what I love the name of that Bitcoin one. Coins. That Bitcoin sounds kind of, you know, whatever. But I love Ethereum. I think that's a great name for some of this stuff.
Now here's something that will sound vaguely familiar to people who have paid attention to news for years, especially former Bank of America customers.
Hmm.
A customer claimed to have lost $5,000 as a result of the error and makes the following allegation: I believe the company is holding my funds to make money on top of my investment.
Of course.
Anybody remember about, what was it, almost 20 years ago?
It would take 10 days or something for a check to clear because the amount of, you know, the few pennies, if you will, of interest that they would make on your money, well, they do that to a lot of people. That adds up to a substantial amount of money.
Bank of America was getting a substantial income
right.
from holding checks for several days and collecting interest.
Yep.
And like I said, a percent here, or per, you know,
a little bit here, a little bit there.
A little bit here, a little bit there.
Yeah, it all adds up.
Lots of people very unhappy with Coinbase. Now, maybe these are people who were either inept or they're making a false claim, but I don't think that all of these claims are bogus and trying to squeeze the
system.
Squeeze the system
yeah,
for money.
Use your money to make money for them. Absolutely. I would have no problem believing that that's a possibility. It's just smart business.
115 complaints have been verified against Coinbase. This appears to be a troubling pattern. Coinbase, when contacted for comment, a spokesperson said the huge surge of interest in cryptocurrency had sort of outstripped the company's ability to respond to it. Well, if you're in business and you can't meet demand, you go out of business.
Yep.
You don't keep taking people's money. That's called a pyramid scheme. Some users reported seeing their investments vanish. Others found them apparently just locked away where they couldn't quite get to them. So
that's
if you
not
wanna,
good.
If you want to play in cryptocurrency,
expect to lose it.
Buyer beware.
Yes.
All the time for this hour of Boomer Tech Radio. Back with more of the tech news you can use right after the top of the hour Town Hall News. It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
This hour from townhall.com, I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump's in Las Vegas to headline a fundraiser to help Senator Dean Heller raise money in a critical race that will help determine control of the Senate. Heller is the only Republican senator seeking re-election in a state that Democrat Hillary Clinton won in 2016. Mr. Trump's also delivering the keynote address at the Nevada GOP convention, and he'll also hold a separate event to promote tax cuts that he signed into law 6 months ago. Yesterday at the White House, the president hosted the Angel Families, a group formed to support those who've lost family members to crimes committed by illegal aliens, with the president telling them action is being taken to stop those kinds of individuals.
We've opened more than 2,800 victims registered to receive information on their perpetrator. We're following these people. We're following them so it can't happen again by that individual.
Mr. Trump says the administration is more determined than ever to secure the borders. Overseas, on the second anniversary of Britain's vote to leave the European Union, leading Brexit supporters are talking tough while opponents are taking to the streets.
Thousands of protesters opposed to Brexit rallied outside British Parliament, calling for a referendum on any final divorce deal between Britain and the EU. While it's still unclear what Brexit will look like when it happens next year, the decision to leave has already had a clear effect on the economy. Households are poorer, companies are more cautious about investing, and the property market has cooled. Since the vote to leave, Britain has gone from being a pace setter among the world's big economies to falling into the slow lane. Big companies are sounding the alarm bell, with plane-making giant Airbus threatening to pull out of the country, where it employs 14,000 people, if it gets no clarity on future trade deals. Karen Shamas, London.
Just moments ago, in the fourth minute of stoppage time, Germany converts on a free kick to beat Sweden 2-1. More at townhall.com.
Physicians designed Relief Factor as an essential way to support the body's natural fight against aches and pains. It's made from wild-caught fish oil and botanicals like turmeric, and it's a healthy way to get back into pain-free life. There's no side effects, there's no chemicals, there's no preservatives, there is nothing addictive, and that's why you can be very confident that when you take Relief Factor, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Maybe you can't wear your favorite shoes anymore because of pain in your feet. Relief Factor can help with all of that. $19.95 comes to 95 cents a day. That's less than a cup of coffee a day for pain relief. Go to relieffactor.com. Read all the testimonials. Find out about it for yourself and order that quick start. Just $19.95 or 95 cents a day for 3 weeks. Or you can call them. It's toll free. They can answer all your questions. 1-800-500-8384. That's toll free. 1-800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
Two TV comedies in the Middle East struck the wrong chord with audiences when their lead actors appeared in blackface, a form of makeup that darkens the skin to represent a caricature of a black person.
The shows were aired in what has become a ratings bonanza for Arabic satellite channels during the Muslim month of Ramadan. Criticism was swift on social media, but failed to trigger a deeper discussion on racism in the Middle East. The shows, one produced in Egypt and the other in Kuwait, also poked fun at Sudanese culture, making a mockery of the Sudanese Arabic dialect and portraying darker-skinned people from Sudan as either poor or lazy. Patrick Frost reporting.
Egypt's state-owned media says the army officer credited with the idea to destroy the Bar-Lev line on the Suez Canal's eastern bank during the 1973 Arab-Israeli War has died. Baki Zaki Youssef was 87. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. Just how many people took advantage of the California assisted death law last year? Correspondent Mike Gracia has the numbers.
2017 was the first full year that a California law was in effect, allowing terminally ill people to take drugs to end their lives. New statistics from the California Department of Public Health show 374 people used aid in dying drugs. Another 86 people who were prescribed the lethal drugs died without taking them. The End of Life Option Act still faces legal challenges. The law was ruled unconstitutional by a Superior Court judge in May and was reinstated by an appeals court last week. Opponents have until July 2nd to file objections. I'm Mike Rossia.
On this date in 1947, the Senate joined the House in overriding President Harry S. Truman's veto of the Taft-Hartley Act, which is designed to limit the power of organized labor. Read more news, get more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, you rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort. At 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
And hello once again. This is Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob Belongi.
Along with Brenda Belongi.
Analog, living in a digital world with goodies, gadgets, gizmos, and the tech news you can use. We certainly hope you could use it. Every weekend here on KCNR in Northern California, and of course, heard throughout the known universe on our podcast. And now it's easier than ever to hear this podcast. This is a repeat. If you're just joining us, and you've always wanted to try podcasting, but it's just a bit too much for you to. To deal with. If you have a smartphone, it's especially if it's an Android now, and on an iPhone too, very easy to open the podcast app, type in Boomer Tech Radio, and bada bing, bada boom, there it is.
Pretty amazing. It's like magic.
I downloaded the Google Podcast app on my Galaxy Note 8, and I simply typed in Boomer Tech Radio, and I'm going to see if I can get it to work here while Brenda talks a little bit about the new app and why it's taken a while. Are you on the story?
No, but I can be.
Stay with me. But anyway, the whole idea is that prior to this, to actually subscribe to a podcast took a little bit of jumping through hoops.
Definitely. It was a little bit more awkward, but so far this app is available only on the Android operating system. iOS or the Apple system is maybe coming, but of course Apple likes people to be on all Apple all the time. And what's nice about this, though, is you just download this app and then you use the Google's voice assistant to be able to sort through and ask for things. And I don't know if it'll do genre or not. That I don't have any experience with this thing. Bob, did you do that? You specifically asked for.
I just said Boomer Tech Radio.
Right.
So
and
if it, I go back to the search, now the list came up, and here's the episode from June the 2nd of 2018. And if I tap on the play button,
yeah,
not very you can just barely hear it.
Hello and welcome to Boomer Tech Radio.
It's that simple.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does sound vaguely familiar. So if you've got an Android phone, get the Google Podcast app and subscribe to this or any of the other, get this, 2 million podcasts that are curated. Now, Apple in the podcast app probably has a similar number. And we do all the work at our end, setting up the feed and the editing down the show and all that, and putting it up on our Boomer Tech Radio page at boomertechradio.com. But rather than have to visit the page each week or tune in at a particular time on the radio, you can simply automatically download the podcast to your device and listen to it at your leisure.
Another interesting aspect of this whole program with Google is that over the next few months, Google says it's going to be offering assistance to people who are underrepresented in the demographics of podcasting, seeing as only about a quarter of the folks that are on there are female, for instance, people of color, cultural differences, whatever, or, you know, minorities, whatever phrase they use now. And it's not all content. It's only a quarter of the most popular podcasts are hosted by women, and even fewer by people of color. So if you want to get involved in that and think you have something going, or you're one of those folks by chance, the part of the program with this new app is that Google's going to offer financial assistance, and you'll be able to apply, and they will let you know if there's a grant available for folks to assist folks with the monetary aspects of developing a podcast, because you don't just put it out there. You have to have a hosting site and that sort of thing.
Right.
And they have some standards that you have to comply with, an RSS feed compatible, real simple syndication compatible hosting site and things like that. So it's not like you can just, you know, say whatever you want and put it out there. That's not the kind of content they're looking for.
Right.
Or not, you know, they don't make it that simple. There's definitely some industry standards technical standards that have to be met.
Now, this is interesting. How about closed captioning for the audibly impaired? There is a way for deaf people under this new, it's a feature that is being developed.
Sure. I mean,
Google will be adding a closed caption generated by artificial intelligence.
Right.
The same way that you can now read your voicemails when they're left on your phone, sometimes with rather interesting results. But there's also going to be a live universal translator feature. So no matter what language you speak natively, the AI will translate. Now, you can see how maybe this can go horribly wrong, because there are certain phrases that simply don't travel well.
Slang, you know, popular, whatever. It's not textbook English, for instance. It's just like when a southerner speaks accents, you know, whatever, a phrase doesn't translate very well into another language, so you get some goofy things. But that's pretty amazing when you think about it. It's obvious that voice recognition going to a visual medium is no big deal. It's done on television all the time. And voice recognition is getting pretty sophisticated, and we've reported before on Boomer Tech Radio that it's now at the level of human interaction, it has that high a comprehension. In the last 5 years, it's reached a level of parity with us talking to each other. So that voice recognition, you talk to the phone all the time. You call the bank and it says, you know, push one or say one in your phone or whatever. And how do those AIs know about all these different voices, young, old, male, female, non-English speaking as a first language with an accent of any kind, southern, you know, even how does it recognize all that? It's pretty amazing how well it does. So I have no problem believing that it could easily take a podcast and translate it into what amounts to subtitles for the audibly impaired.
Now, you had an experience, or you had another call from a simulated human.
Oh, yeah, this was great. First of all, it used to be when you had an answering machine that the system, somehow there's a signal or something that comes from the machine into the phone line that the system would know it's an answering machine and they wouldn't leave a message. And now it's not like that. When you answer the phone, they wait to see if there's a real human to pick it up. If not, then they don't leave a voicemail.
Right.
So the first thing, you get that really long pause while the system is saying, oh, somebody actually answered the phone. Okay. And then you get, you know, hi, this is Mary Jane, and I'm calling you about blah, blah. And just the whole tone of voice is like, yeah, right, this is a bot. You can so tell. But in this case, it asked a yes or no question, and my reply was sure.
Now,
a human being would know what that is. Or if you said yep.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, they probably have, yeah, or, yeah, that kind of stuff. Some of them may pick up on that, but sure was not in this AI's vocabulary. So,
and there was a very long pause.
And so then I go, hello, knowing it's a bot. I said, you know, hello. And the response is, are you still there? You know, it's, which is, I was just talking to you, right? So, of course, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. And it just gave it a big brain fart, and finally it decided that it...
This was a dry well.
That, yes, exactly. That we're getting nowhere with this, and so it hung up. It was really interesting. And it was quite amusing, actually, that it was not sophisticated enough to parse out this thing. And basically what it was, it wasn't a sophisticated call. It wasn't like the one from the... peace officer or something or another. The other
day,
that
one was pretty scary.
Well, you get into it a little bit further before you realize, you know, yeah, this is a bot. This is not a real person.
I can only respond with scripted answers.
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. That's
I'm a real human, but I can only respond with a scripted. But the technology requires that I respond with a scripted answer. Well, then you're not live. You're memorized.
That's right. But this one was not a very sophisticated IA that it couldn't handle non-standard scripted answers from a human, and it pretty much is just an announcement. And I'm sure anyone with a cell phone is familiar with getting these stupid calls where, you know, and it's not just a cell phone, actually. It was our business line, and you get these calls, and they just, you know, spew this stuff out. Right. It's really annoying.
They're hoping that 1 out of 1,000 will... take the bait. Somebody must, or they wouldn't bother doing it, right?
I guess. Well, and for some people, perhaps this is a valuable service that they are indeed thinking about looking into. In our case, it was not the case. Yeah, such was not the case in our case.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Like you said, a dry well.
According to an article appearing in Engadget, which is a popular tech website, I don't agree with all their politics, but they do come up with some pretty good stories. Online data privacy, of course, a big deal. Lots of folks still eyeballing Facebook over the policies that led to the Cambridge Analytica thing. Other reports have revealed that Facebook shared data with a number of mobile device makers, and that means not only consumers' information was out there being looked at by who knows who, also national security issues. In fact, some of these... phones are some people are military people who happen to have their phones with them are possibly providing real time intelligence to bad actors. So,
unwittingly.
Yeah. Now, Europe, of course, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the General Data Protection Regulation, the GDPR. That's why you got all those emails in the last few weeks. Say, we have changed our policies. Mm-hmm. You have to agree to our policies or we'll have to stop sending you our crap. Okay. I don't want your crap.
There's that.
U.S. officials are looking at possibly getting our own very specified version of the data protection rules. During his testimony in front of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, Zuckerberg said that Facebook would adopt those rules as its privacy standard moving forward. This is a little bit of a flip-flop on the Zuck's position on the issue, since he had only said earlier this month he agreed in spirit with the laws. If Facebook does, in fact, implement these data protection rules could have a pretty good impact on Facebook users throughout the world. Now, this dates back to 2012, and the European Union is pretty far ahead of us in terms of data privacy laws. They've got their right to be forgotten.
Right. That's one of the more advertised, and also control over your own data.
Yeah, quite a it does. Now, of course, the corporations are going to figure out ways around this, and, of course, law enforcement wants to be able to harvest your data.
That's the whole thing, is because there's money in your data, whatever it is. And anytime you're asked to do some kind of survey or what have you, you know, you're definitely looking at a situation where there's no excuse me, they're making money on that data. Those surveys are ways to get information out of you that is probably not directly identifiable to you, but at the same time, you're freely giving them data to make money off of.
Yeah.
Because of for marketing or, you know, what do people prefer, what their opinions are on the end. And maybe you don't care, but I do.
Yep.
Now, don't need to know what I'm thinking.
One of the running jokes on this show, is the terms of service, the TOS.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that almost nobody reads because, and this dates back to the days of floppy disks, that essentially, once you broke the seal on the package, you accepted the terms of service. They could have sold you a blank disk, and you had no legal recourse according to their terms of service. They could sell you complete garbage.
Right. And the problem with this, though, is that if you want to use an app, you have to agree to those terms of service, or you don't get to use the app. So they have you over a barrel with this stuff.
Right, and if you try to start reading these terms of service, your eyes quickly cross and roll back in your head.
Legalese in a language that is not obvious.
So the Euros have said companies are not going to be allowed to use long, illegible terms and conditions full of legalese, as the request for consent must be given in an intelligible and easily accessible form. And it must be as easy to withdraw consent as it is to give it. Because once you've given them the consent, it was about as hard to turn it off as it was to cancel your AOL account 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Anybody ever lived through the days of AOL knows what I'm talking about there. If you wanted to cancel your account, I must have tried 3 months in a row before I finally got that. It was AOL Yahoo. That's how far back that was.
It was ridiculous.
They were tied in with AT&T. AT&T was in bed with Yahoo.
Yeah.
And
built people
AOL.
Out of millions of dollars collectively. Yeah. Just
because
you
couldn't disable your account.
Yeah, they were not responsive. The only recourse you had was maybe to go to the bank and say, cease and desist paying them. But by then they'd already extracted stuff out of you that you didn't want to be giving them. The likelihood, and this article mentions this, the likelihood of the U.S. going for as
draconian?
As consumer protective or consumer controlling capabilities that Europe has. For us to be able to get the same thing that Europe has probably isn't going to happen, according to this, because, of course, there's the corporate interest and.
And let's,
who knows what
let's see what the political slant. And it doesn't. And this is not a thing you can hang on Trump.
No, this
because
started
Silicon
a long time
Valley
ago.
Is decidedly slightly to the left of Chairman Mao. Come on.
But this is also a subject that started long before current White House administration. This was not something that was generated because of that. And may have brought up that they would like to go to something like that, but the subject itself is age-old as far as technology is concerned, or from a technological perspective.
Now, there's a lot of people who, if you say, I got this on Etsy, they're going to give you a blank look. Etsy is a company that lets handcrafters, people who make everything from quilts to the junk you see down... Well, not necessarily junk, because one person's trinket or treasure is another person's garbage.
Sure.
Now, Etsy has been a clearinghouse for people who create handcrafts so that shoppers can be connected with vendors. Etsy is raising its fees. They want to take 5% of the originally they were taking 3.5%. Now they're going up to 5%. And they are putting shipping costs into that percentage, which means some of the store owners are probably not going to stop. It's going to cost them too much to sell their product to make it worthwhile.
Right. They can't charge a price that people will pay in order to cover their costs. I have a friend that was something like that. It's not so easy. You think this is wonderful. It creates a worldwide marketplace for yourself. Well, it does. In a way, but you also see a lot of junk on there.
The kind of stuff you see down at the flea market that is allegedly handcrafted, but if you turn it over and look hard, you see the imported from China.
Well, exactly. Some people use it as a resell type of thing, and that it's not genuinely handcrafted, although it is supposed to be. But they didn't say it couldn't be handcrafted in China, I guess. But it's very fairly easy to get into... selling things on Etsy. You just go to Etsy.com, and that's spelled E-T-S-Y.com, and you can explore their website as well as shop.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually bought a couple things from Etsy mm-hmm. where the artist has used that as a storefront.
Ah, okay.
And it's not so bad. It is a place where you can find unique, one-of-a-kind, handmade items. And, you know, they're not cheap, usually. Handmade items are always more expensive. And
right.
so that's part of what you're purchasing is the person's talent, experience, and craftsmanship.
Right.
You want cheap stuff? Okay. Doesn't last long, maybe, and you're not bothered by that? Okay. There are lots of places where you can shop for that sort of thing, either online or locally in your area. So just keep in mind, don't think like you're going to get bargains on Etsy is, I think, the thing I
right.
am thinking. It's not like eBay that way, where you can really pick up some genuine deals on eBay, pay a lot less for something than its value to the point where you could flip it and, you know, turn it around and sell it for more.
Often people buy this stuff cheap
like
on eBay and
right.
turn around and sell it at the flea market.
Right. I mean, that's a time-honored thing is the you know, the what do they call them?
It's like
Tinkerman.
People show up at your garage sale
yeah.
2 hours before you go to open.
Yeah, the ones that are the dealers, right?
We and ever do that, I'm going to be chasing them off with a stick saying,
to.
No, come back.
We did that in a garage sale when we moved many years ago.
Do you take early birds?
Yeah
like, go find some.
Just,
go eat a worm.
How about the guy that just walked in the house?
Ah, yeah.
Uninvited.
That was
a little creepy. But anyway, back to Etsy. There are some advantages for an artisan to sell their products on creations on Etsy. You know, people go there for one thing; they know about it. That Etsy is a handcrafted sales type mm-hmm. site. The sellers you're usually buying directly from the creator,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, so sellers. Creators can remain independent on the system. And then there's a secure shopping, which is always nice when it's online. So Etsy, you know, the 5% or whatever it is that the creators are going to be paying now, you know, they're piggybacking onto the infrastructure that Etsy website
right.
has built. So, you know, it's fair to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it could be a good deal for some and maybe not.
Now, there are alternatives. If you don't mind dealing with the 400-pound gorilla of online retailing, that, of course, being Amazon, Amazon has Amazon Handmade. Now, their initial transaction fee is 15%, which is like, what?
Yeah.
But it's 15% or $1, whichever is the greater of the two. That includes payment processing, marketing, discounted shipping, and fraud protection with no monthly fee. Amazon does not charge listing fees unless the shop owner sells more than 40 items on Amazon outside of Amazon Handmade, in which case there's a $40 fee. If you wanted to go that route, you can apply online. There's another service called Zip It. They don't charge commission or listing fees. They charge a flat monthly fee that depends on the package that you opt into as a seller.
Zip it? That's. Sometimes I wonder where these folks come up with these names. It just kills me.
Then the grand old pro of this sort of thing, eBay, of course, depending on how much you want to sell, is going to be how much you're going to pay. For your eBay listings.
Sure.
I used to be just an invertate eBay shopper, and then, of course, I started, and I did find some good bargains.
Oh, definitely can find some good bargains on eBay.
Not so much
or
anymore.
Or you'll find something that you want that nobody else has. You certainly can't get it local. It's vintage or what have you. Well, yeah, because people have gotten smart. They are offering things at a fair market value, but it still is a good place to go to look for things you might not find elsewhere.
Finally, Bonanza. Dun, 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 Bonanza.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Only a very select few people actually got that.
No, I'm sure lots of people did. It's on every day on the over-the-air waves TV here, so I'm sure it's on every day on over-the-waves TV in lots of places.
Bonanza charges 3.5% for items under $500. It drops to 1.5% if you go over $500. So, and it actually is not across the board. So if you charge, say, $750 for something, $500 is at 3.5%, and the remaining $250 is 1.5%.
Oh, yeah. They do things like that.
One more tech radio, one more segment to go after this break. Ever since we started Boomer Tech Radio, Advanced Automotive has been part of our program. But Tim and Cody Morlock are more than just our advertisers. They're our friends, and they are our first choice when we have our personal vehicles serviced. Why? Well, because after your home, your car is probably your second biggest investment, and it's vital that it be safe and dependable. Advanced Automotive has a skilled staff of certified technicians ready to diagnose your vehicle and get it running right. Advanced Automotive is listed on RepairPal.com, a national rating site where customers can leave reviews and even get an estimate on the cost of a repair. Go where the professionals take their vehicles to be serviced. Advanced Automotive in Reading. On the web at advancedautoreading.com. Visit them at 5756 F Westside Road, just off Bonneview. Call them at 530-244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
I am Dan, owner of Dan's Optical Lab. For years, I've made prescription eyewear for other eye doctors throughout the North State. Now I'm opening my lab directly to the public. You can purchase the highest quality in prescription eyewear, but directly from the lab. That means you get it faster and you get it for less. I don't just sell prescription eyewear, I make it. And because I do, I have to know more about the lens materials, designs, and frames that are available. If you want the highest quality in prescription eyewear, then go where the doctors go, Dan's Optical Lab, faster for less.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Take more classes, learn more skills, and have more fun with the money you save only at Shasta College. With free tuition at Shasta College for your first year, it's easier than ever to save more, do more, and be more. Visit ShastaCollege.edu/apply for eligibility requirements and to enroll. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with free fall tuition at Shasta College, you can save more money than ever before on a college education. A new semester starts soon. Visit ShastaCollege.edu/apply to enroll now.
It's a given that your car or light truck is going to need service sooner or later, and often, waiting until later means a lot bigger repair bill. Now, there are many repair shops in town, so it pays to do your research and find out where your friends and neighbors take their vehicles, and check reviews online as well. Advanced Automotive of Reading is listed on RepairPal.com, where customers just like you talk about their experience. Advanced Auto has been making quality auto care easy since 1993 and has a philosophy of keeping things simple. Stop by their shop at 5756 F West Side Road just off Bonneview. You'll see vehicles from local businesses and first responders in the yard because those customers rely on cars and trucks that are safe and reliable. But more than that, safe vehicles mean a safer community. And honestly, it's the right way to do business. Check them out for yourself. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Round the back turn into the home stretch, Boomer Tech Radio, and I am Bob Belongi, and I tell you, we had a little glitch in the studio here, but we are back. We're going to go ahead and finish.
Totally transparent to you, the listener.
Yeah, yeah. We managed to make all that problem go away.
Our theme music
composed and performed by George Wood. It is called 8-Bit Junkie. And it is used by permission off the PodSafe Music Network. This program brought to you in Northern California by Advanced Automotive of Reading. Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Pick up the phone, dial them at 540-244-7990.
I don't think
that's
so.
My old phone number, 244-4423.
There yeah. you go.
It who has, uses the phone?
Has a rhythm. Well, we use the phone all the time, but who pushes in a number hardly anymore, you know?
You work a pattern.
You either, there's that, right? That's the only way I can remember the combination to the front gate at the office is, okay, what's that pattern? Because it's just not a number that sticks in my head, but the pattern does.
Cody and Tim are rolling their eyes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Of course, you can catch us on the podcast. You can either go to boomertechradio.com and download the show directly, or you can go through your favorite podcast app, including the new one from Google, called, appropriately enough, Google Podcasts, and start downloading those episodes.
Well, Amazon Prime members have another treat they can try.
Bonus!
Well, not necessarily a bonus. I quite honestly think that Amazon sat around and watched their competitors to see how well this was going to work.
Well, it works for Microsoft. See what other people do and then do it yourself and do it cheaper and put them out of business.
Well, there can be some of that, right? But in this case, of course, Amazon, especially with clothes, people would figure it out that they could order something, wear the prom dress, for instance, to the prom, and then put it in a box and say, nah, doesn't fit, and send it back. Which is a gross abuse of the idea behind these things.
Right, and a certain number of people were complaining because Amazon was starting to cut them off.
Right. But it's like, really, did you think you were going to get by with that forever, that everything you buy, you return? That's just dumb. Something's fishy is going on. But along that line, and maybe because this is a cheaper approach, Amazon Prime members can now try on clothes when they arrive before they even pay for them. So you don't have to pay for them first and then, you know, wait and wait and wait for the return. The refund of anything returned is that before you buy them. Now, there is another outfit that's been doing this for a while. It's called Stitch Fix. And Stitch Fix, you know, keeps track of the things that you actually buy and what your preferences are and makes suggestions and, you know, kind of tries you to get to buy new stuff all the time.
There's actually a genre of videos of people opening their Stitch Fix boxes. Try saying that three times really fast. And trying them on YouTube and reviewing the clothing. And this is mostly stuff from major manufacturers. And I imagine that these manufacturers are hoping that somebody will be really amazed and impressed and put up the YouTube or social media buzz, and the lemming friends will go out and buy the exact same thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I suppose. And then you have there's a line of women's clothing that I'm aware of called, I think it's LuLaRue is it, mm-hmm. And I have a few coworkers. That's how I found out about it. Very comfortable stuff. But it, again, it's one of those where they insist on sending you all these things. And you're actually buying from a dealer, and part of it is that they it's mostly through Pinterest, although not necessarily, but there's a lot of people like that. So you become a dealer for this company's clothes, and they only make so many of this pattern and that sort of thing. So it's a similar idea. If you don't like something or it doesn't fit, you can return it or exchange it fairly easily, is what I understand. But
you've got threads hanging off of it or whatever.
Yeah, so in my mind, you know, what could go wrong with this for Amazon? People are still going to do the same thing.
They're going to buy it, try it, wear it yeah. for the weekend or
and
the event, and then send it back.
System, yeah. And better make sure if you do that the bottle of wine you just spilled on yourself or the blob of ketchup that came out of your hamburger doesn't get on the clothes that you're thinking about sending back, or you really get to keep it. So it'll be interesting to see how long this lasts before they change their policy again on something.
Prime Wardrobe will include private label brands like Larkin Row, Daily Ritual, and Amazon Essentials. Now, Amazon Essentials is sort of like this catch-all. Right. I would wonder what a pair of jeans from Amazon Essentials, if they'd be worth anything. Although, I have to say, some of the products that I've bought that are Amazon's Essentials branded, the USB car chargers come to mind, some audio cables come to mind. I think that they pay attention to make sure that it's not going to be total crap since their name is all over.
Well, there's that. That would, yeah.
They're still a new player in fact. And, you know, when you think about Amazon as a place to buy fashion, the two don't really kind of click together.
That is not what you think of right
away. It's not really a boutique.
No, that's exactly right. So this is usually, if you're going to go search for clothing on Amazon, you're probably searching for something specific like, you know. Cargo pocket jeans or Levi's or Pierre Cardin or whatever. That's, I think, more of the kind of thing that comes to mind for sure.
Analysts say that they believe Amazon will be the top apparel seller in the U.S., making about $62 billion in sales. TJ Maxx and Macy's following behind. Of course, that this is Amazon's claim to fame, is that they can they have very efficient material handling, you know, in materials, in product handling.
Yeah, right, package handling.
Yeah, the ability to handle large amounts of stuff, sending it out very efficiently is their claim to fame. So, one asked for comments. Stitch Fix referred the news reporters to remarks that the CEO of Stitch Fix, Katrina Lake, made back in May. Quote, Amazon is amazing when you want something cheapest and fastest, but what if you simply want a pair of jeans or a dress to wear to a wedding? Those are really hard problems to solve when you're sifting through the millions of things which have varying degrees of relevance. So Stitch Fix says their claim to fame is that this stuff is customized to your preferences. Well, computer algorithms can give Amazon a lot of leverage.
And besides that, I mean, think about that realistically.
But there's
what if you want to try something new, you know? So that's, I'm sure, of course you have that option. You can go looking at something new. But when you're pumped for things, but trust me, you're going to have this in your face all the time. Mm-hmm. I recently, this past winter, ordered some clothing online, and now I'm absolutely inundated with emails and catalogs from this company. And, you know,
there is a pine forest worth of catalogs showing up in the mailbox every week.
Right. It's crazy. And it's like, really, people? That kind of defeats the purpose of buying online when it comes to looking for things so you don't have to deal with all this paper. But, you know, whatever. And I do look, and then I realize, what am I doing? I'm falling into their marketing trap, and it's a little frustrating because, you know, you don't want to miss out on a bargain, but on the other hand, I realize, I'm not really looking for anything. So, okay, goodbye.
Moving along, literally. now, we've talked about, you know, ride-sharing services are where you take, let's say you've got a car,
and you want to make a little extra money, so you become a sort of digital taxi driver and ride on demand. And the idea is for people who don't want to pay the usual high prices charged by traditional taxis, pay a slightly lower price and be able to, rather than stand on a corner and wave your arm or have to call the taxi company and wait around, a car is sent to you as soon as you hit the button on your smartphone.
Right.
Well, what if you want to do your own driving in towns where parking is at a premium?
Right.
And maybe you only need to do something once a week. Do you want to pay the insurance, the gas, the maintenance, the upkeep, the
parking?
The parking fees
if
and all that.
If there's even a place to park.
And this is a trend that is growing, a car sharing service, and we have seen these around major cities. Mm-hmm. This is called Car to Go. They have a they use those goofy looking little smart cars.
Yeah, they're pretty basic, pretty fundamental transportation.
Users can make one way trips without having to return the vehicle to the same place they picked it up. A lot of car sharing services do that, which makes it a little bit tough. But presumably you would take the vehicle to any number of hubs around town. So, you couldn't take it out to your cousin Eddie's and just leave it.
Right. No, this is an urban assault vehicle, if you will, purely urban transportation, not really an assault vehicle, but.
But for major destinations around town.
They'll have to put little doodahs on it that says, like those carts in the parking lots, you know, if the cart gets past this thing, it locks down.
Yeah, you can't take off for Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
Not only the smart cars, but also they're expanding their services to include Mercedes-Benz sedans, ooh la la, so if you can't, pick you up in the Mercedes. Now, presumably it doesn't have a big sticker on it, so it's obvious that you are too cheap to buy your own car. Kind of like, those RV rental rigs that have the big vinyl wrap on them, so everybody on the planet knows that it's a rented RV rig.
And that you're not home.
Yeah.
You're not from around here, are you? Yep.
But I'm predicting... Now it's my turn.
Not yet. It's your turn to cough.
Rather than city buses that have like six passengers on them driving around in a circle and burning lots of fuel at all hours, because you never know when somebody's going to need a ride, so you have to have you're standing in the bus stop for 15 minutes or whatever.
Right.
I think that municipalities are going to look strongly into scaled transportation systems using semi-autonomous cars that, when there's nobody in them, they direct themselves to the nearest charging station, or if they need work, they go back to the maintenance bay, and another one rolls out to take its place. When you hail the car, you can opt to either drive it or... let it run along a predetermined route. And so for mass transit...
That makes sense.
So you would have cars and like minivans that would hold six or seven people available on demand.
Right. That makes
rather than owning the vehicle.
That makes some sense, for sure.
Here's something that just really it got me really interested. We have... Of course, most people don't unlock their car with a key anymore. You got the little dongle.
Yeah, and it's darn inconvenient when it doesn't work. Like, it doesn't work for us right now. It's very frustrating.
Now, if you have a Tesla Model 3, you can unlock your car with a smartphone. But there's no real standard for this if you change vehicles or if you rent a vehicle. And our smartphones are becoming sort of our means of identification anyway. Presumably, you're the only one who can actually access it.
Yep.
I have retina identification facial recognition on my Galaxy Note 8. As a backup to that, like when I'm wearing my sunglasses, it just baffles the daylights out of the facial recognition.
Yeah, it can't perceive
I just put
that.
My finger on the back and activate the phone.
Yep, I use finger activation all the time.
There is such a thing.
And that doesn't, you have to touch the phone. It's not that you can flip off the phone or something like that. And it recognizes the gesture. That wouldn't make a lot of sense anyway.
So, like, you couldn't use your BMW fob, which you paid $400 for, to unlock your to unlock your F-150.
Well, yeah, there's that, right?
There are no common standards among this stuff.
Right.
Plus the fobs, man, you break one of those things or you have to go get a new one. They charge you a fortune.
Yep.
There is now a Car Connectivity Consortium. That's a catchy name.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mix of major smartphone and automotive brands. They have posted a digital key 1.0 standard that will let you download a virtual key that can unlock your vehicle, start the engine, and even share access with other drivers. What could possibly go wrong there? Unsurprisingly, the technology focuses on security more than anything else. The manufacturer uses an existing trusted system to send the digital key to your phone, which then uses a near-field communication to grant access to your ride. It has a short enough range to where, you know, somebody can't just drive down the street pinging out signals trying to pop car doors like they do with garage doors sometimes.
Yes, yes. Only so many frequencies.
This assumes,
used.
Of course, that you're and of course, more cars do this now. This assumes that you have some kind of unlocking device. So it's going to be some years before this takes hold. Now I plan on holding on to my Jeep with its absolutely manual transmission, manual door locks, and a top that folds down by hand until I can no longer drive, God willing.
Oh, my goodness.
These are yet another way to, because how many people have lost their car keys? Or misplaced them. You come home and you put them down and you forget where.
There's still a fob somewhere that you lost. We don't know where it went. Yeah. I'm sure it's either in the bottom of a box somewhere, but it's lost in antiquity.
Or it fell out of your pocket. And then this is the thing. If you lose your phone, it's a real pain. You can usually get it these days. You can get, if you get the replacement phone, you can reload it with all your stuff pretty fast once it's all authenticated. I would be very irritated at losing my $1,000 phone, but we didn't pay that much for them, but paid the sales tax on them.
Would if you had to replace it?
Yeah.
Trust me there.
The smart devices are becoming ubiquitous enough that these digital standards. But I'll be still using my metal key on my Jeep for the foreseeable future.
Let's see here. As we've reported before on Boomer Tech Radio, there's been many studies done by social media about social media.
Oh, yeah.
This article comes from Popular Science, and more and more we start to see articles about, just delete it. Don't
Unplug.
Even engage in it. Right. So the Facebook users are close to 40% more likely to be unhappier than their friends who stopped using the site. And it's, are you disgusted with Twitter or things that come across Twitter and all this kind of stuff? Just get away from it.
I now look at Facebook about twice a week. And it's the same. It's like a soap opera. Nothing has ever changed.
Right. I have a few friends I follow. Otherwise, I skim through the stories for the most part. Sometimes I'll look at a cat video if it looks interesting and I feel like I have time. But that's not very often. I probably watch six cats videos a year. I have live cats at home. I get the live cat video. It's interesting how social media is such a buzzkill, if you will, for people.
Before Cambridge Analytica, before all these studies, I was pushing away from Facebook especially in the wake of the 2016 presidential election.
Yeah.
And I didn't, and this is agnostic as far as party goes. I was ticked off at both sides.
Right.
For the absolute roadkill that people were posting, and who were they going to influence? It influenced absolutely no. But I don't think anybody's vote was actually altered, at least anybody with functioning brain cells, altered by something they read on Facebook. It just reinforced existing beliefs.
Well, it's interesting how social media kind of exacerbates human tendencies. We're more focused on what the other person appears to have than what we have. And if we don't have that, the family, you get to spend time with your grandkid. I wish I had that kind of time. That's just a randomly picked example on my part. But I don't understand why people can't just shut it off.
Yeah, just.
I don't have time for it. I don't have a Twitter account. I don't understand anything about that. And why hashtags, you know, what does that do for you? I guess you can look up stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't have enough hours in the day to do what I want to do without spending all my time telling everybody what little minute actions
some
people,
let's face
take.
It, some people overshare. Now, there are people who have wanted to post their triumph or their tragedy and share it with us
right.
as part of the global community village thing. And that's
be,
fine.
Right, absolutely. And it could also be a very quick way of getting out some information to
exactly.
Your peeps, if you will.
Your circle.
Yeah, your circle. And
but for every positive thing about the social network or any social network, I can come up with 10 negative
things. Yeah, flip side of things, right? This is why I don't post on Facebook very often.
I have rarely posted. I used to post about this show every week. The new episode was up, and I'd get 3 likes on it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to bother doing
that anymore. What's the point, right?
But if you're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, or whatever the flavor of the month is in terms of social media.
And there'll be something new come along that's completely different, and everybody will act like a pack of lemmings and flock over there.
Yeah.
Drop whatever it is that they're doing, and there you go.
If you've had all you can take of hashtags and tweet storms, you can, of course, deactivate your Twitter account. For a set period, Twitter will hang on to your data, but after that, it will permanently get rid of your account. There is a, you have to go into a particular page, and they make it a little tough to find. Facebook
yes,
makes settings tough to find.
Yes,
for a reason.
They do.
They don't want you to casually.
Yeah, of course. Well, no, it has nothing to do with you casually leaving. It has everything to do with you leaving it all
at
because
all,
they
yeah.
want to collect your data. They want to spoon feed you. They want to be king. And so, yeah, but if you keep digging, and a lot of times if you aren't finding it by yourself by just poking around in there, just Google the subject, and you'll probably come across some guidance.
Yep. Same with Instagram. There are, if you, in fact, if you go to Boomer Tech Radio, the Flipboard magazine, you'll find this popular science article, and there are links in it you can follow to go to those deactivation pages. I have Facebook on my iPad, but I will not carry it on my phone anymore. And this was before Cambridge Analytica and all the other stuff having to do with Facebook.
Right.
It was eating up my stupid battery.
Well, yeah, there's that. And if for nothing.
Yeah, and people will try to
productive.
Reach me through Facebook Messenger,
yeah,
and I'll say no, because I look at that about twice a day on my iPad, because I won't have it on my phone.
Right, exactly. I don't think...
I have better things to do than...
Text messages are way more direct with us.
And if you're driving and posting on your social network, shame on you. You deserve the $400 ticket.
Well, and let's hope you get caught and reprimanded at that level
before you kill somebody out.
Exactly.
Good grief, people. You know, I don't mean to be sound preachy or judgmental or any of that. Or I just don't get it. I do get it when there's a human life at stake.
Well, yeah, don't do it. Oh, goodness.
Yeah,
You've been on a rant all program
I have,
this week here.
I think it has to do with the stupid cold I'm trying to get rid of.
Yeah,
it has affected
since,
my mood.
Since you spread it my way, I know just how you feel.
Hey, you don't have to do social media. You can just go to BoomerTechRadio.com or on your favorite podcasting app, including the brand new Google podcast. Subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio. You can catch every week's worth of our pithy commentary here. It's Bob and Brenda saying, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe, be good to each other. It might be the car or light truck that gets you to your job every day. Maybe your child drives it to school. Or perhaps your drivers deliver goods to the customers who keep your business going. The bottom line is, You rely heavily on that vehicle to be safe and reliable day after day, and that means regular maintenance by professionals trained in the latest automotive repair techniques. For Brenda and myself, that means Advanced Automotive is the only repair shop we trust with our personal vehicles. Advanced Automotive does everything they can to make car care easy. Founded in 1993 by Tim Morlock and now owned by his son Cody, carrying on a tradition of honest work at a fair price. Find out for yourself by visiting AdvancedAutoReading.com or go to RepairPal.com, or you could just call 530-244-4423. It's a great little repair shop that's a bit hard to find, but worth the effort, at 5756 F West Side Road in Reading. Advanced Automotive.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.